This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Joining us now on the Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Jeff, how you doing today? I know it's been busy keeping up with all these additions, added assistant coaches.
I'm doing good. You know, it's a slow week. You know, we're kind of just muddling along. Oh, coach here, coach there. You know, things are building, but you know, it's been. I think it's going to get a little crazier once they add a defensive coordinator and offense coordinator and all that. So it's the slow time. Let's put it that way.
Looking at some of these hires that were made today, Scott Tolzien, a former quarterback, someone that Kellen Moore is very familiar with. The two have worked together with the Dallas Cowboys organization.
Yeah, so there was three coaches hired, quote unquote. None of these have been officially announced, but yeah, you mentioned Scott Tolzien. You know, the connections for Kellen Moore make a lot of sense. You know, Tolzien in particular. Yeah, they were together in Dallas, so it's just a kind of a kismet situation. And you know, he's done a lot of good work with Dak Prescott. You know, he was an assistant when Kellen Moore was there. After Kellen Moore left, he took over as the quarterback's coach. So it's just another body in the room that's played the game at the NFL level. And the question is going to be, okay, what quarterback is Scott Tolzien working with? And that's a question we don't have the answer to right now.
Looking at a little bit of surprise, but a name that we're familiar with, I should say, in Joel Thomas, the running backs coach, was here for a good while, left for the New York Giants for one season, and was like, I'm coming back to New Orleans. And I know you tweeted out, too, something that Alvin Kamara should be happy about.
Yeah, you know, it's the running back room was Joel Thomas for a long, long time. It was a change to Derek Foster. Last year, Joel Thomas went, they let him take a lateral move to the Giants to coach running backs up in New York. They hired Derek Foster. Derek Foster's now going to be the running backs coach for the Cowboys. So a lot of, you know, Cowboys, Giants, Saints connections. But, and the interesting thing is now this is another offseason where a team could have blocked his coaching move, right? Like, he's the running backs coach for the Giants. They're letting him leave to become the running backs coach for the Saints again, which it would lead me to believe it didn't go perfectly well up there. Clearly he was willing to jump ship because the Giants didn't make a head coach change. They're sticking with their system and Brian Daboll. So it's not like this was a situation where they were cleaning house and, you know, like the Saints with Derek Foster, he went to the Cowboys because it's a new offensive coaching staff. That's not the case for the Giants. So it's probably two things. One, it wasn't going well up there. And also he'd love to come back. The interesting thing is you listen to Kellen Moore in his introductory press conference, and one of the things he made sure to mention was everyone he talks to, all the former coaches he talks to, they all speak glowingly of the Saints. They really enjoyed their time here. And between Joel Thomas and Brendan Nugent, you have two guys who were here for a long time coming back to coach the positions they coached when they were here. So it does make a lot of sense. And like you mentioned, Alvin Kamara, you know, he had his best seasons with Joel Thomas. Joel was here before Alvin. So basically his entire career up to this point, he's been led by Joel Thomas. Alvin's a big fan of his. So, you know, I don't think this move was about Alvin, but in the kind of spectrum of Kellen Moore getting AK on his side, this is probably a positive move for that.
I was going to say, it sure doesn't hurt to have a guy, you know, that your star running back approves of in the building.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of interesting because if I'm Kellen Moore, I want Alvin behind me. Like, there's certain members of our locker room
right.
that, you know, you want in your corner, and that was one of the smartest things Darren Rizzi did on day one. He made Alvin Kamara a captain. I don't know if he was buttering him up, but he definitely got Alvin behind him. Alvin was out there, you know, championing Darren Rizzi for the head coaching job up until the end. I think getting Alvin kind of behind you is important. And it's the same thing on the defense. Whoever they bring in as a defensive coordinator, you're going to want to get guys like Cam Jordan, Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis behind you immediately. Like, these are the guys that lead the players. And on offense, that's Alvin Kamara.
Jeff, you mentioned Scott Tolzien earlier on, and TJ Paganetti is another one that's reportedly been added to the staff. Mike and I were talking about this in the first hour. It just feels like it's kind of a youth movement on this Kellen Moore assistant staff. I know Joel Thomas is 50, but like Scott Tolzien is 37, TJ Paganetti is 35. The thing about Paganetti that's really fascinating to me is that he's 35 years old, but he's been an assistant on the Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff since 2017. He's won two Super Bowls there. I mean, this dude is been around the coaching block, like kind of similar to Kellen Moore in a sense, where, you know, he's a younger guy, but he's been a coach in the NFL level for quite some time. So what are your kind of thoughts on TJ Paganetti, who served a bunch of different offensive assistant roles with the Eagles, most recently the run game specialist assistant offensive line coach in 2024?
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something I was looking at earlier, right? He goes back to 2013 on the Eagles, and I'm just going to list all of the titles he's had. He was an analyst in 2013-14, offense and quarterbacks. Fast forward, he had a stint with Oregon, came back to the Eagles as an offensive quality control and assistant offensive line coach. Then 2019-2020, he's the assistant running backs coach. Next season, he's back to being an offensive quality control coach. Next season, he's the run game specialist / assistant tight ends coach. Next season, run game specialist / assistant offensive line coach again. So, you know, he's done a lot. And when you talk about a team that's been as successful as the Eagles have been over that span, he won two Super Bowls as an assistant. He was also there for the other Super Bowl appearance a couple of years ago. So, you know, it's interesting because he predates Nick Sirianni. He predicts everything the Eagles have been doing. Clearly, he made a good impression on Kellen Moore while he was there. You know, Doug Nussmeier is the presumptive favorite to be the offensive coordinator. I would be surprised if he's not at this point. I think it's a good move to bring along some of those former Eagles coaches, and honestly, anyone who's been tied to that offensive line coaching staff and that you know, run game the Eagles have put together over the last few years, yeah, that's someone you want on your team. So now I think this offensive coaching staff they're putting together is an impressive one, and we'll just kind of have to see how it coalesces down the line.
Talk about impressive, Jeff. For me, what stands out is, like, I'm impressed Kellen Moore is not afraid to be picking apart Nick Sirianni's staff right now.
No, he should. I mean, you know, that's one of the perks of bringing in the Super Bowl champion offensive coordinator. It's the same as, like, hey, Sean Payton goes out to Denver. He's got a lot of people he can mine immediately. Kellen has the same thing, because not only are you able to pull guys along with you, you're able to offer them promotions, right? Doug Nussmeier is the quarterback's coach. So because he's the quarterback's coach and you want him as your offensive coordinator, the Eagles really can't do anything about it. And you kind of just go down the line in that way, because Kellen was in charge to begin with. So he gets to decide who gets to make that step up. At the end of the day, the question with the offensive line is, like, I actually think John Benton did an excellent job with that group. You know, he had a bunch of injuries on the interior, but I thought the two tackles played, you know, obviously Buaga is a rookie. He played well. Penning played the best football of his career. Trevor Penning, I don't think he played great, but it was a serious step forward from where he was. So you need to see that group continue to improve, right? Like, if you can't win in the trenches, you're not going to win. And that's, you know, you look at the Eagles, what did they do to set themselves apart in the NFL as a standard bearer of, like, oh, what is offense in the year of our Lord 2024? It was run the ball, establish a front, and this is something the Saints haven't been able to do over the last several years. So you're going to want to rebuild that. It's going to be a new scheme. But you need to get the coaches in the building who understand what they're doing, and they can help translate certainly what Kellen is going to be asking a lot of these players in the Saints to do.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff, Mike and I interviewed Joe Reedy, an AP sports writer for Los Angeles, about Doug Nussmeier and his time with the Chargers in 2023 as the quarterbacks coach. And Nussmeier is, you know, by all accounts, is going to likely be the offensive coordinator for the Saints, even though Kellen Moore is still going to call the plays. But the connection with him and Kellen, he's followed him every spot that he's been. He was with the Cowboys as the QB coach from 2020 through 2022, the Chargers in 2023, and then the Eagles in 2024. When we asked Joe about him in his time with the Chargers, he said that he was a very calming presence in, you know, the locker room, but there's also got to be a certain level of trust that he has with Kellen Moore as well, to be hopping from spot to spot with him, eventually winning the Super Bowl this past year with the Eagles.
Yeah, and if you're sensing a trend, it would be another former NFL quarterback in the building. You know, I don't think you can have enough of those guys. It's people who see the game from the quarterback position and can explain it from the quarterback position. You know, it's interesting when you look at teams and you say, okay, what do the running backs know? What do the tight ends know? What do the wide receivers know? Well, they know their positions. They know their offense, and that's how they kind of approach their analysis of the game, right? Their insight from the game. A quarterback has to know everything. And that's why you see a lot of quarterbacks become head coaches, become offensive coordinators, become offensive gurus, because they just view the game already in the way that they're going to have to as a coach down the line. And so, you know, I also think, you know, we saw this with Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael, right? Like, you know, there are certain guys who are very prolific offensive coaches that are just not offensive coordinators, that are not going to be head coaches. And I feel like, you know, there's a pairing that you can create with certain offensive coaches, offensive head coaches and coordinators that works for both guys, right? And that was the case with Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael for so long. I know everyone's kind of lost the luster of Pete Carmichael as an offensive coordinator because of the few years he had as Dennis Allen's offensive coordinator. Didn't really go that well, but he is a elite offensive mind. And with Sean Payton, that became a very, very prolific tandem. You know, and I think Doug and Kellen is kind of probably going to become that for him. Like, I don't see Doug Nussmeier really going anywhere from this position in terms of, I don't know how active he is at looking for offensive coordinator openings where he's going to play call plays and eventually be a head coach. So, you know, I do think that kind of having that comfort level of, hey, I know this guy's going to be here. I don't have to worry about someone coming in and poaching him because they've been linked together for so long. I think that's a positive, and we're going to see how that develops on the defensive side as well. Brandon Staley still seems like the pick. And as we said before, I feel like you can have some continuity with him as well, because I don't think anyone's coming in to say, hey, be our next head coach, considering how everything fell apart on him with the Chargers. So now I'm a fan of how everything has developed right now, but this is the easy part, right? You're just looking at, oh, what's positive. These guys are going to have a lot of work to do to get this team back to the postseason.
Are you talking about Brandon Staley, the favorite to land that defensive coordinator gig? Is that, I guess you would say, the reason why the defensive assistance really hasn't been filled out? Kellen's going to probably let whoever that is, if it is in fact Staley or whoever gets hired in that role, to fill out his staff on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I don't know if it's kind of like, yeah, you send them over in the corner and say, pick out your staff. Like, I think there's a lot more input and oversight from the head coach than that. But I do think there is a level of, hey, we're not going to just go out and hire a bunch of offense or defensive assistants for a guy who's not in the building yet. I do think that process will probably go quickly when you do get a defensive coordinator, because I'm sure they're going to come in with a list of guys and say, hey, I like him. But no, I think it's not a coincidence that we've seen all of these coaching hires be made and they're all offensive coaches, because the Saints still haven't hired their defensive coordinator. There are a few guys in the mix along with Staley, like Durante Jones, who's a former LSU defensive coordinator. He's been interviewed for the job, and I know there was one other name that I'm blanking on.
Eagles DB's
Parker,
coach.
Christian Parker.
Yes, Christian Parker, yeah. So, and one thing that these guys have in common is they're all kind of associated with 3-4 defenses, with uneven front defenses. And so it sure seems like, based on all of the evidence, that the Saints are going to be transitioning to a 3-4. Now, these guys could come in and say, hey, I'm going to run a hybrid scheme. We don't need to change everything. But, you know, I think that's where we're trending, is you're gonna see a lot of changes made from a personnel standpoint to adjust to a new defensive scheme, and that's going to be on the defensive line, at the linebacker level, at the defensive back level. It's going to be affecting all three levels if that's what you do. And so that's where the real intriguing part of this offseason is going to be, because you're going to approach this next draft, and I think that's where you're going to have to find those players if you do make that significant of a scheme change.
One position, too, we don't really talk too much about is special teams coordinator. We know Darren Rizzi has taken his talents to Denver to be with Sean Payton's staff now. Leaving a big void there, could a guy like Phil Galliano end up stepping into that role as special teams coordinator for the Saints now? Or do you think that Kellen might look elsewhere?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend. You know, I think they're going to have meetings and they're going to figure that out. I think Phil Galliano could very well be a special teams coordinator in the NFL. I thought he did a great job in the final, 8 weeks of last season, where Darren Rizzi stepped up into the head coach job.
Right.
He was effectively the special teams coordinator. He did it. And I thought they played well in that phase of the game. You know, it's tough because, you know, we don't spend a ton of time watching that phase of the game in depth. It's like, oh, what a great tackle. What a great this and that. But I thought there was some interesting contributions around, like, Rico Payton, I thought, kind of established himself as a burgeoning special teams ace. Obviously, you got a guy like JT Gray back there. But that's always been an area the Saints have excelled in. And, you know, Darren Rizzi was a big part of that. But Phil Galliano, especially in terms of identifying gunners, which I think the Saints have been good at, that was a big part of his role. So we'll see. You know, and if you do keep Phil Galliano as your special teams coordinator, then that probably eliminates the major questions of, hey, are we going to completely reset a kicker, punter, that sort of thing? Because if you bring in a new special teams coordinator, he might say, hey, I like this guy. I don't like Blake Groupie. And that would be a bummer because I like Blake Groupie, and I think he had an excellent season. And if they move on from Blake Groupie, he'll have a job within a week based on the body of work he put out there last season. I think it's definitely, you know, a possibility that Phil gets that job, but you know, it's tough. You know, there's definitely options, and if Kellen likes somebody that he's worked with before, then he could go ahead and do that. The problem is you're not going to be able to hire someone who is already a special teams coordinator as your special teams coordinator, because whatever team he's on, they'll just block it.
Gotcha, Jeff. Thank you for the time. Check out Jeff's work at WWL.com. He's got the Saints hire three more offensive coaches, another familiar face in the mix. You can check that out at WWL.com, along with all his other stuff he has posted on there. Appreciate the time, Jeff, and be talking to you tomorrow on the Inside Black and Gold podcast.
Sounds good, y'all. Have a good one.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joining us there. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. You can sound off Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. What do you think about Kellen Moore? What do you think about the assistant coaches he's brought in? And who would you like to see on the defensive side of the ball, if not Brandon Staley?